This is Wealth Wake Up with Dick Donahue on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
Good morning. Nice day out there. Great weekend. Get out and enjoy it. Going to start out today with our weekly wrap-up for this week, and the stock market closed with solid losses this week. Market participants had a lot of to digest on this week's in terms of market-moving events. The downside bias was driven by a jump in market rates, a recalibration of rate cut expectations, and increased geopolitical tensions. The added sticking point for the geopolitical angst, which was related to reports that Iran could soon attack Israel, was uncertainty related to the weekend and the potential that investors would not be able to react in time to any potential developments. The negative bias in the stock market began before the aforementioned reports, however. The market did not react favorably to a hotter-than-expected March Consumer Price Index, CPI, report. The total CPI increased 0.4% month over month versus an expected 0.3% increase, and core CPI, which excludes food and energy, increased by 0.4% month over month versus an expected 0.3% increase. The producer price index was cooler than expected on a month over month basis. Actual was up 0.2%, expected had been 0.3%. But total PPI still accelerated to a 2.1% in March from 1.6% in February. And these reports fueled worries about ongoing hawkishness from the FOMC, that's the Federal Reserve, and drove participants to rethink rate cut expectations. The probability of a rate cut at the June FOMC meeting collapsed to just 27.7% versus 69.3% a month ago. The market's expectations at the start of the year were 6 rate cuts by the end of 2024, but the sudden change this week leaves the market with only 2 expected rate cuts now. The Treasury yields turned sharply higher in response to the data, and in response to a slate of weak Treasury auctions, there was a $58 billion 3-year note auction on Tuesday, a $39 billion 10-year note on Wednesday, and a $22 billion 30-year bond auction on Thursday. The 10-year note yield jumped 12 basis points to 4.5%. The 2-year note yield, which is most sensitive to changes in the Fed funds futures rate, jumped 15 basis points to 4.88%. This week's losses followed a soft start for the first quarter earnings reporting period. JPMorgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon made some cautious-sounding macro comments, and the bank let its net interest income guidance for 2024 unchanged from its prior view. Citigroup and Wells Fargo also logged declines after their earnings results. The weakness in bank stocks led the S&P 500 financial sector to decline 3.6% this week. It was the worst performer, but all 11 S&P sectors logged declines. The real estate sector was down 3.1%. That was another top laggard, clipped by the jump in market rates. The materials were down 3.5%, healthcare down 3.1%. The sectors fell more than 3%. So let's take a look at some of the daily summaries, starting out with Monday. Of course, the stock market had a mixed showing on Monday. On below-average volume at the New York Stock Exchange, there was not a lot of conviction on either side of the tape as participants took a look ahead to influential events later in the week. Monday morning's release of the New York Fed's survey of consumer expectations did not move the markets much. There was also an element of hopeful anticipation in play in front of the first quarter earnings results from some big banks ahead of the open on Friday. Other bank stocks outperformed in sympathy. Rising market rates did not dampen buying interest stocks. The stock price action was related to, in part, to the market's ongoing recalibration of rate cut expectations, along with some hesitation in front of this week's Treasury sales. There was no U.S. economic data of note on Monday. On Tuesday, the market had another mixed showing. The Dow Jones Industrial Average settled just below its prior close, due in part to a weak showing from Boeing. This price action was related to news that first quarter deliveries, 83, were the lowest since the second quarter of 21, and New York Times reported that the FAA is investigating whistleblower complaints about alleged flaws in the 787 Dreamliner. Some influential stocks that logged huge gains of late also experienced increased selling activity compared to the broader market, driven by lingering sense that some stocks are due for a pullback. Many stocks close higher, however, thanks to the underlying pressure with the market. So reviewing Tuesday's economic data, we saw that the March NFIB Small Business Optimism Index hit 88.5. A month ago, it was at 88.9. On Wednesday, the market had a weak showing. Stocks logged sizable declines. Treasury settled with sharp losses following the harder-than-expected March Consumer Price Index. Total CPI increased 0.4% month-over-month versus an expected 0.3% increase, which excludes food and energy. Increased also 0.4% month-over-month versus a 0.3% increase. The CPI report fueled worries about ongoing hawkishness from the Federal Reserve and drove participants to rethink their rate cut expectations. The market's expectations at the start of the year were for six rate cuts. Now we're looking at two, maybe three. Just about everything in the market participated in the downside moves. So reviewing Wednesday's economic data, we saw the weekly Mortgage Banker Applications Index is up 0.1%. Last week it was down 0.6. The March CPI was at 0.4%. February was also 0.4%. The core CPI was also up 0.4%. February was also up 0.4. The key takeaway from this report is that the year-over-year reading of headline CPI accelerated for the second consecutive month, which will boost expectations of ongoing hawkishness from the Federal Reserve, in turn pressuring expectations that rate cut in June will probably be lower. February's wholesale inventories were up 0.5%. In January, they were up 0.3. And on Thursday, the market started the session mixed following Wednesday's CPI-induced sell-off. The market found some upside momentum in the afternoon, though, leaving the major indices near session highs. The afternoon improvement was due in part to a rebound in action after the retreat, helped by Thursday's inflation data, which was cooler than expected on a month-over-month basis. It was actually up 0.2%. Total PPI still accelerated to 2.1 in March from 1.6 in February. Early resilience in selling activity also helped the market improvement, along with a calmer behavior in the market, at the Treasury market. Just about everything participated in the upside moves, but mega caps and semiconductor stocks had outsized impact on the broader market. Reviewing Thursday's economic data, we saw our weekly jobless claims come in at 211,000. A week ago, they were at 222,000. We also saw continuing claims at 1.817 million. The key takeaway from this report is that claims remain in a sideways range near the 210,000 level, which is not reflective of any sudden weakening in the labor market. We also saw the March Producer Price Index come in at up 0.2%. February was up 0.6%, and the March Core PPI Friday was up 0.3%. The key takeaway from this report is even with smaller-than-expected month-over-month increases, the year-to-year growth rates of the Producer Price Index and the Core PPI, both of them, accelerated. Dick Donahue with you with Wealth Wake Up Live. We'll be right back.
If you're ready to jumpstart that kitchen remodel, upgrade your barbecue, or start sleeping better on a new bed, DeWarden Bodie is ready to help with their spring clearance on home appliances, barbecues, and mattresses. They've got some unbelievable offers for you this weekend. I'm talking savings up to 50% off retail prices you'll see at other stores on floor models and blemished items. They've got one-of-a-kind deals on closeout Weber barbecues, Traeger smokers, and Gosney pizza ovens, plus deep discounts on a huge selection of major home appliances. experiences. This spring, refresh and renew your sleep with a new mattress so you can wake up feeling ready to tackle your spring cleaning. With more than 40 mattresses on display at their Bellingham showroom, they'll help you find the perfect fit at the perfect price. Plus, get your new mattress delivered and set up for free on qualifying purchases. And start sleeping better tonight with no money down and no interest for up to 5 years. But hurry in. One-only spring clearance deals are only available while supplies last at DeWarden Bodie in Bellingham and Burlington.
P&W Perks has given you a chance to create amazing memories that will last a lifetime for half the price this week with Outer Island Excursions. Dive into the heart of nature with Killer Whale Tours, home of the guaranteed killer whale sightings. With Outer Island Excursions, you'll experience the thrill of seeing majestic creatures in their natural habitat. Their high-speed boats, manned by trained naturalists, will whisk you away on an unforgettable adventure. Perfect for all ages, tours offer an inspiring way to spend time with your loved ones. Picture yourself surrounded by stunning views, creating unique memories with your family and friends. Don't miss out on the feast for the senses that await you this summer. Visit orcawatching.com and reserve your tours before dates fill up. Outer Island Excursions is not just a tour, it's a journey into the awe-inspiring beauty and untamed wilderness. Create exhilarating memories with Outer Island Excursions and P&W Perks. Visit pnwperks.com to get half off at Outer Island Excursions this Thursday at 8 a.m. That's at pnwperks.com.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife.
Welcome back to Wealth Wake Up Live. Dick Donahue with you this Saturday morning, live in studio. We are Asset Advisors. We are located out on the Pacific Highway in the Pacific Commerce Center. That's out next to Highway 99, next to Wilson's Furniture. Our address is 5060 Pacific Highway, Suite 101, Ferndale, 98248. Our phone number, 360-733-1200. And check out our website at wealthwakeup.com. Okay, we're going to continue here with our weekly summary of the market action, and we saw the market on Friday finished with solid losses. There was heightened geopolitical uncertainty in front of the weekend contributed to Friday's sell-off. There were concerns were related to reports that Iran could soon attack Israel, which also sent oil prices higher to $85.58 a barrel. That was up 58 cents a barrel due to worries about supply disruptions. There was another sticking point for investors was global growth concerns when after China reported weaker than expected exports. They were down 7.5% year over year. Imports were down 1.9% year over year for the month of March. Weakness in the semiconductor space had an outsized impact on index losses following news that the Chinese telecom companies have been ordered to replace U.S.-made processors in their equipment by 2027. The semiconductor index slid 3.3%. So reviewing Friday's economic data, we saw the March import prices were up 0.4%. March import prices, if you exclude oil, were also up 0.1%. And the export prices were up 0.3%. Again, if you now exclude ag, they were up 0.4%. The preliminary April University of Michigan Index of Consumer Sentiment checked in at 77.9%. versus the final reading of 79.4 in March. In the same period a year ago, the index stood at 63.7, so up substantially. The key takeaway from this report is the uptick in inflation expectations, which follows from the larger than expected increase in March consumer price index and the view that various Fed officials that stickier inflation readings mean the Fed can be patient before cutting rates. So, year-to-date up through yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average actually lost 2.4% this week, now stands up 0.8% for the year. The NASDAQ lost 0.5% this week, but is still up 7.8%. The S&P 500 was down 1.6% this week, but also is still up 7.4%. And the Russell 2000 Index was down 2.9%, but is also now down 1.2% for the year. Well, we like to talk about our weekly focus, and today I'm going to take a look at the Federal Reserve's financials through the end of last year. Back in 2008, the Federal Reserve, or the Fed as we know it, embarked on a novel experiment in monetary policy by transitioning from what we called a scarce reserve system to one characterized as an abundant reserves. In addition to inflation, the experiment has resulted in some other developments that are worrisome. Higher interest rates have resulted in substantial unrealized losses in the Fed's securities portfolio. Simultaneously, they have caused the Fed to pay out more interest to banks than it's earning, resulting in a sizable and ongoing losses. So let's take a deeper insight into these where these things stand at the end of last year. Let's first of all take a look at the net earnings remittance that are going to the Treasury. Before 2022, the Fed was able to buy Treasury and mortgage-backed securities that generated higher yields than what they were paying for the banks. Consequently, the Fed consistently earned substantial operating surpluses, which were then remitted to the Treasury Department on a weekly basis. Over a span of 15 years, the Federal Reserve contributed an average of over $75 billion annually to the government revenue through this mechanism. But now, after the equivalent of 21 quarter point drop rate hikes over the past 2 years, it pays banks 5.4% per annum to hold these reserves, and much more than what it earns in its portfolio of Treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities, leading to $116 billion in losses over 2023. These accumulated losses are called a deferred asset on the Fed's balance sheet and are only paid off if and when the Fed starts to make a profit again down the road. So let's also take a look at the portfolio holdings at the Fed. The Federal Reserve has $948 billion in unrealized losses on its balance sheet, but it's important to note this unique position it's in. Unlike many financial institutions, the Fed does not face solvency concerns because it's not required to mark its portfolio to market values. The Fed has the option to hold its securities until they mature, and there's no regulatory agency that can intervene and forced to shut down due to accounting issues. With total reported capital of just $41 billion at the end of 2023, the Fed's unrealized loss was of $948 billion represents a staggering 22 times its capital. Not many businesses get by with that one. And then you have the interest rates paid to banks and institutions by the Federal Reserve. In 2023, the Federal Reserve compensated banks and financial institutions a total of $281 billion for holding reserves, marking a significant increase of 175% from the $102 billion that it paid out risk-free income in 2022. That's a sum that ultimately is borne by taxpayers. Market analysts and the Federal Reserve anticipate a reduction in the federal funds rate for a total of 50 to 75, that would be a half to three-quarters of a percent, through the two or three cuts this year. This adjustment, coupled with a reduction in the Fed's balance sheet throughout the year, is expected to decrease the Fed's expenditure on interest payments to banks and financial institutions. However, the projected expenses remain remarkably high, and we estimate that between $200 billion and $250 billion indicating a continuation of significant payouts in 2024. So it's always nice to pay out more than you're earning. Got to think about it. Well, I'm going to focus on a couple air sectors of the market that we find that are kind of interesting. The first one is water. We want to compare the cumulative total returns of several utility and infrastructure-related indices to that of the S&P 500 index, and that was between October of 22 and the start of the current bull market and April 5th of this year. And water, of course, plays a critical role in its social economic development. the production of food and energy, and crucially, a human survival itself. The United Nations reported that 2.2 billion people around the world lacked access to safely managed drinking water, and 3.5 billion did not have access to safely managed sanitation in 2022. And when it comes to an investment in infrastructure stocks, water stands alone. And we all discuss, we believe that have been catalysts to growth for the companies involved in water utility, infrastructure, materials, and equipment. In the U.S., there's an estimated 2 million people currently that live without running water inside their homes. And while most U.S. citizens have access to clean water and sanitation, the infrastructure that provides these services is aging. The pipe that makes up the U.S. water networks is average is 45 years old on average. Some of the oldest cast iron pipes still were put in service more than 100 years ago, according to McKinsey and Company. The U.S. drinking water infrastructure is comprised of 2.2 million miles of underground pipe, according to the American Society of Civil Engineers. The ASCE noted that the estimated 1 billion gallons of treated potable water is lost through leaks in this piping infrastructure each day. In the U.S., more than 12,000 miles of water pipes were planned to be replaced in drinking water utilities in 2020. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency expects that water pipe replacement rates at the peak will peak in 2035, and somewhere between 16,000 and 20,000 miles of piping being replaced each year. Funding for updated water infrastructure has accelerated in recent years. In 2021, the U.S. government revealed legislation that designated the $55 billion toward water infrastructure improvements. $15 billion of that funding was set aside to replace each of the 9.2 million lead service lines still in use by 2031. In November of 2023, the World Bank reported a $1.37 trillion in additional investments are needed in order to reach the United Nations Sustainable Development Goal for global access to clean water and sanitation by 2030. The cumulative total returns of each of the indices were as follows. The S&P 500 index was up 49%. The S&P Global Water Index was up 38.2%. The S&P Global Infrastructure Index was up 23.20%. And the ISE Global Wind Energy Index was up 8.97%. The S&P Global Energy Index in the same time was down 21.44%. And the MAC Global Solar Energy Index was down 35.21%. So what's our takeaway from all this? Well, from our perspective, the results can be explained by the crucial role that access to clean water and proper sanitation play in developed and developing nations around the world. Globally, an estimated $1.37 trillion of additional water infrastructure investments are required to provide clean water to the 2.2 billion people currently in need of it by 2030. In the U.S., the aging water infrastructure is in dire need of repair and replacement, with 1 billion gallons of treated water being lost each day to leaks in the current framework. Approximately 14% to 18% of U.S. daily water is lost. Additionally, population growth threatens to stress these systems even further, given the critical nature of the water ecosystem in comparison to other infrastructure investments. We do not find the sector's outperformance overly surprising. And while there is no way in the future to be certain, we do expect companies will continue to benefit from global construction and domestic modernization of water infrastructure. And FYI, many of our portfolios, we do have a position in water. Going to take our break, running a little late. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with everything I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of dry AMD called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, colors appear dull or washed out. For others, hazy or blurred vision make it hard to see details, like fine print on price tags. Many have trouble seeing in the dark, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you think you have GA, don't wait. Treatments are available. Ask a retina specialist about FDA-approved treatments for GA and go to GAWon'tWait.com.
You know those friends who say, stop by anytime, and you're like, you don't really mean that. Well, unlike those friends, Dewey Griffin Subaru's Express Certified Subaru Tire and Service Center means it. They're open 6 days a week, including Saturdays. Stop by anytime you need an oil change or any other minor maintenance, and they'll take care of you. No appointment necessary, and you'll get a free car wash with your service. Dewey Griffin Subaru. Community-minded, community-driven, and the only Subaru Certified Tire and Service Center in Whatcom County.
KGMI wants to put a grand in your hand. You could be one word away from a chance to win $1,000.
That's right. Just listen each weekday to KGMI for the keyword during the 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours.
Then go to the Grand in Your Hand contest page at mybellinghamnow.com before midnight and enter each keyword for your chance to win $1,000.
We'll have four keywords each weekday so you can increase your chances of winning by entering all four every day we play the contest.
You already listen to KGMI for the latest local news and discussion of the latest issues. Now you can win $1,000 while you do it.
A Grand in Your Hand is brought to you on KGMI by Niederhaus of Luxury, Whatcom County's newest fine jewelry store, next to Lombardi's on Bellwether Way.
A Grand in Your Hand is back on KGMI.
Get details at mybellinghamnow.com.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Rest easy in a cool home this summer. Contact West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical to add AC to your existing system for as little as $140 a month. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
CBS News Brief. Israel is bracing for a possible direct attack by Iran. Military spokesperson Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari.
Israel is on high alert. We have increased our readiness to protect Israel from further Iranian aggression. We are also prepared to respond.
Iran has vowed revenge after a deadly Israeli strike on its consulate in Syria. At a mall in Sydney, Australia, a man went on a rampage with a knife.
We saw the guy come up the escalators with a big black knife in his hand, and just really calmly, he was just walking like he was having an ice cream in the park.
Six are dead. The attacker was shot by police. Days after the Arizona Supreme Court upheld an abortion ban that dates back to the 1800s, Vice President Harris was in Tucson talking reproductive rights.
We all know if Donald Trump gets the chance, he will sign a national abortion ban.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up.
Welcome back to Wealth Wake 5. Dick Donahue with you. Well, we just talked about water, and now we're also going to talk about gold and silver and the miners. And we're finding wide disparities that often exist between the annual price performance of an ounce of gold, bullion, silver, and the equity returns posted by mining companies. Since precious metals tend to be priced in U.S. dollars, we also track the relative strength of the U.S. dollar against a basket of major currencies. Precious metals have historically been considered potential inflation hedges by investors. From 1926 to 2023, by the way, the 12-month rate of change and the Consumer Price Index averaged 3%, according to data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It stood at 3.2% at the end of February of this year, down from a most recent high of 9.1% set in June of 22, but up from its most recent low of 3% in June of 23. The price of gold has been trending upward. The spot price of 1 ounce of gold stood at a record $2,261 on April 2nd. That was an increase of 9.13% on a year-over-year-to-date basis, according to Bloomberg. The spot price of silver also had increased over this same time frame, but the spot price of 1 ounce of silver rose by 9.86% on a year-to-date basis as of April 2nd. That said, unlike gold, the spot price of silver has not recovered to its all-time high. The price of an ounce of silver stood at $26.14 back on April 2nd of 24. That was 47.14% below its all-time high of almost $50 an ounce set back in 1980. In 2023, the spot price of the U.S. dollar index peaked at $107 on October 3rd of last year before falling to $100.99 on December 27th of last year. And since then, the index has increased 3.79% to $104.82 as of April 2nd. From 2009 through 2023, the Philadelphia Stock Exchange's gold-silver index posted a positive total return in 7 of its 15 calendar years. 5 of them occurred from 2016 through 2023. It's also in positive territory year-to-date. So what's our takeaway? Well, in some ways, the data defied our expectations. If the CPI is down 5.9 percentage points, from its most recent high, then why is it that gold is setting record highs, silver is rebounding, and the U.S. dollar is closing in on its 23 calendar year high? Well, from our perspective, there are several catalysts at play. First, many investors view the U.S. dollar, gold, silver, and other precious metals as safe havens during times of turmoil. The wars between Russia and Ukraine and Hamas and Israel, as well as terrorist attacks in the Red Sea, pose geopolitical risks that may be leading investors to seek refuge in these assets. Additionally, despite recent disinflation, the CPI remains well above its Federal Reserve's target of 2%, even increasing from 3.1% in January this year to 3.2% in February. Other inflation metrics reveal a similar trend. The Fed's core, which excludes food and energy, and supercore services only, which is no goods, excluding food, energy, and housing, inflation metrics rose by 2.8% and 3.3% on a year-over-year basis in February of this year. So should geopolitical risk and inflation remain elevated or worsen, we do expect higher valuations will occur within these safe haven assets. And again, the point of disclosure, we do have some portfolio exposure to gold and silver and metals in our portfolios, along with water, as I mentioned earlier. Well, big thing we're talking about today, especially since November of 22, has been AI, artificial intelligence. That's when we had the emergence of ChatGPT. It marked a watershed moment for artificial intelligence, shining a spotlight on the transformative potential and igniting widespread enthusiasm for AI investments. As AI technology continues to evolve and integrate into various areas of the economy, how large could this market potentially grow in coming years? Well, the AI market size estimates to be a combination of revenues from hardware, software, and services companies related to AI. And while we're still in very early innings of this technological revolution, we estimate that the AI market size may vary meaningfully going forward. It is currently estimated that the AI market could reach $1.8 trillion by 2030. That's a remarkable projected annualized growth rate of 37% from 2023. You know, we categorize the AI market participants into two key segments, enablers and adopters. In our view, enablers are companies driving innovation by developing proprietary AI infrastructure, i.e. semiconductors, cloud computing platforms, while adopters are companies that are integrating AI into advance their business operations or end products, i.e. cybersecurity and drug development. So we believe the estimated growth of the AI market stems from several key elements, notably the critical role of hardware, such as cutting-edge semiconductors and data center infrastructure. In turn, this hardware catalyzes progress in the AI software, promoting the evolution of both enterprise and consumer applications to cloud-based platforms and AI services such as Microsoft's Copilot. And as a result, we believe these types of AI services could increase productivity, leading to margin expansion for adopters while generating meaningful revenue for AI enablers. So a little thought or two on artificial intelligence and what is happening, where it's going, what's going on. And I get these questions all the time. I had a question about early retirement and Social Security and what did the spouse need to know. And basically they called and they said, if my wife takes her Social Security at 63 and later on I die, will her survivor's benefit be reduced because she retired early? Well, the answer is that the good news for the wife is that as long as she is at or over her full retirement age, when her husband passes away, she'll step up to the full amount that he had been collecting at the time of his death. It will not adversely impact what she collects as his widow. FYI, however, if she's under her full retirement age when he passes away, her widow's payment would be based on 100% of this benefit amount, but it will be adjusted for the fact that she took it early. So each year that you take it before your full retirement age, you're looking at about a 7% discount. That's why somebody, for example, born 1960 or later, right now full retirement age is 67, something to keep in mind. And, of course, each year that you wait past full retirement age, you get an extra 8%, something we're happy to discuss with you. Dick Donahue with you with Wealth Wake Up Live. We'll be right back.
Paid for by government. Did you hear? A secret hoard of 1893 $10 gold Liberty coins has been found. These gorgeous 1893 P gold coins are as bright and shiny as the day they were struck, and less than 200 of these gold coins are available. Coin experts are calling this secret U.S. gold coin discovery a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and you can own a piece of the hoard. When you call, you are guaranteed an 1893 gold Liberty struck at the iconic Philadelphia Mint. With limited availability, you must call now. These 1893 dated gold coins are still in uncirculated condition with brilliant luster. That is 131 years of history you can hold in your hand. To learn more, call 1-800-473-3993. Call now and you'll receive a free bonus, a $50 value free with every order. Call 1-800-473-3993 now to secure your 1893 P $10 gold Liberty coins before they sell out. That's 1-800-473-3993.
Are you looking for an auto shop that offers honest quality service? Hi, I'm Kirk, owner of Angler Automotive. At Angler Automotive, we strive to make sure that all of your automotive service needs are met. Angler Automotive provides the factory recommended services that are required to maintain your vehicle's warranty. Angler Automotive, outstanding quality with honest, reliable service. Check us out online at anglerautomotive.com.
We don't have the usual traffic jams that they have in the big city, but sometimes things happen to snarl everything up. Depend on KGMI to keep you cruising to your destination with KGMI Traffic Alerts. We'll tell you where the trouble spots are, and if you see problems on the road, give us a call at 360-676-5464 so we can spread the word. KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM, and KGMI.com.
Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Welcome back to Wealth Wake Up Live. Dick Donahue with you this Saturday morning. Got questions for me? Give me a call, 360-733-1200. Well, you know, the more that the feds borrow, the more we are going to pay for our mortgages, our credit cards, and our student loans. I was talking a little earlier about the feds' balance sheet issue, the fact that they're paying those reserves to the banks now, going in the negative. Well, we also think that the Treasury Department's borrowing trillions of dollars is a problem for only for future generations. Well, we have to think again about that one. The interest rates on your credit cards, student loans, and even your mortgages are all up now because of the Treasury borrowing spree. It's costing you thousands. The runaway spending in Washington has been a problem for decades. It's got a violent shove into overdrive during the past several years. The Biden administration and its big spending allies in Congress, and that's from both parties, have already racked up $6.8 trillion of additional debt, and the money has to come from somewhere. Well, the first couple of years of the Biden administration, it came from the Federal Reserve, who simply just created the money. That devalued the currency and caused a 40-year high inflation. But when the Fed stopped its printing presses, however, the Treasury had to borrow from the public. That forced interest rates on Treasury bills, notes, and bonds to rise, and fast. Many Treasury yields have quadrupled in the past 4 years. Some yields have increased 75-fold. The reason is simple. The Treasury is competing with everyone else for borrowing trillions of dollars annually. You may not realize it, but when you apply at a bank for a mortgage, or online for a credit card, or a dealership for an auto loan, you are actually competing to borrow money. A lender has many options when it comes to lending out its money, and this means loan pricing is a competitive process. So we call the price to borrow money the interest rates. A higher interest rate means it's more expensive to borrow, while a lower rate reduces the cost of borrowing. And like other markets, when there's a surge in demand for loanable funds, the prices are going to increase. Hence, if people want to borrow more money, interest rates offered on loans will march upward. These borrowers are also willing to pay more to receive loans. The other would-be borrowers receive nothing. The Treasury is provided with such a demand surge in spades. The federal government is running a $3 trillion annualized deficit for the current fiscal year. To lure investors away from private borrowers, the Treasury has been forced to offer higher interest rates. Americans are paying more than $240 billion annually just in credit card interest before they put a dime towards actually paying down their balances. For the first time ever, interest on non-mortgage debt is caught up in the interest families are paying on their has caught up with the interest that are paying on mortgages. In other words, you're paying as much now on other forms of debt as they're paying on mortgages. Speaking of mortgages, higher interest rates have increased the monthly payment on the median price of a home of over $1,000 compared to 3 years ago. That extra $12,000 each year for 30 years for the same house. It's the same story with student and auto loans. Typical American family is paying thousands more annually in interest payments now than they were in 2021. The borrowing costs punishing American families are here to stay as long as Congress continues to its breakneck pace of deficit spending. Until this stops, the Treasury will continue sucking all of the oxygen out of the room while American families are going to suffocate financially. And when we're talking about suffocating financially, we also saw a report that came out that as of the end of last year, that our credit card delinquency rates are the worst on record, according to a new Fed study. And the U.S. credit card delinquency rates were the highest on record for the fourth quarter of last year, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. Almost 3.5% of card balances were at least 30 days past due as of the end of December. That's the highest figure on the data series going back to 2012. It's up almost 30 basis points. That would be 0.3% from the previous quarter. The share of debts that are 60 to 90 days late have also climbed. Stress among cardholders is further underscored in payment behavior as the share of accounts making minimum payments rose 34 basis points to a series high, according to the report. Normal credit card balances set a new series high. Card utilization also rose as consumers stretched credit lines further. Inflation-adjusted credit card balances remain below their fourth quarter 2019 levels. The numbers signal added pressure on U.S. household finances and higher cost of living. About 10% of credit card borrowers now have an account balance that exceeds $5,200, according to the Philadelphia Fed. One quarter of active accounts have a balance of over $2,000 for the first time. But underscoring the dichotomy among consumers, about a third of card holders pay their balances in full every month. The Philadelphia Fed found that credit scores in the 10th and 25th percentile of card holders decreased to their lowest levels since the first quarter of 2020, indicating that further performance deterioration could be on the horizon. Issuers have responded by lowering their credit limit for new accounts. The median account opened with a $3,000 limit in the fourth quarter was down from $3,368 in the second quarter. This data series, which started with the third quarter of 2012, covers loans by large lenders with at least $100 billion of assets, representing roughly four-fifths of the total bank credit card balances. So interesting numbers there. Interest rates go up. People get behind. And while we're talking about interest rates going up, we're also seeing that U.S. mortgage rates are topping 7% again and weakening demand for homes. The U.S. mortgage rates last week topped 7% for the first time in a month, while home prices applications fell in most areas in mid-February. The contract rate on a 30-year mortgage rose 10 basis points to 7.01% for the week ending in April 5th, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association data released on Wednesday. That depressed the group's index of mortgage applications for home purchases, which slipped 4.7% to the lowest level in a month. We also saw that home sales have shown a bit of momentum, with some economists suggesting people are getting accustomed to mortgage rates that are double those of the early 22. The Federal Reserve has so far held off on lowering interest rates to tame inflation, and policymakers are going to get a fresh look at consumer prices and data that would be released late as we continue. So despite the mortgage drop in mortgage applications for home purchases, MBA's overall index of applications managed to eke out a slight gain due to a jump in refinancing activity. The gauge rose to the highest level since early February, and the MBA survey, which was conducted weekly since 1990, used responses from mortgage bankers, commercial banks, and thrifts. The data covers about 75% of all retail residential mortgage applications in the United States. Well, we're seeing a little in the news about it, but we're seeing more in the news as time goes along, and I think we'll continue to see more about it. But the increase in California's minimum wage has already had an impact, and basically it's not good. California's minimum wage increase to $20 an hour for fast food employees, signed into law by Governor Newsom late last year, went into effect April 1st. Already, its impacts are being felt. Fast food restaurants, already burdened by a new law that prevents them from disclosing the costs of government-mandated programs, are increasing their prices in order to cover the cost of their increased minimum wages. The New York Post is reporting that Burger King has reported that the Double Whopper meal increased by 12% since the new law took effect. Increases in food prices are entirely predictable when the state increases its minimum wage on restaurants. One virtual picture on X shows an In-N-Out burger has also increased its prices across the board. Here in Washington, several local cities are increasing their minimum wage. Bellingham is heading the charge this year. It's raising its minimum wage to $17.28 and another dollar to $18.28 in 2025. Just as California, Bellingham restaurants are raising their price to offset those minimum wages. But by raising the minimum wage in the short term, workers are going to see an increase in wages, but long-term costs of what will increase, negating the additional money received from the higher wages. Sometimes, instead of a salary bump, we're also finding that many workers find their working hours are being cut or their jobs are being eliminated. And for some employees, if they fall below minimum hour threshold, they also wind up losing some of their benefits. So increasing minimum wage also adds to inflationary pressures Washington residents are facing. The more things cost, the less purchasing power the average consumer has. There's an upward pressure on wages, irrespective of the sector, to counter increased costs. And there's no way around the effects of minimum wage increases. Your favorite fast food and many other things are going to cost more. And Washington and California, both states with high minimum wages, have even higher prices. And we're seeing that happen consistently across the board, where we're seeing prices go up and up and up. And so and we're going to continue to see that. And in case you're not aware, that means inflation is going to go up and up and up. Dick Donahue with you with Wealth Wake Up Live here on KGMI. I want to thank you for being with us as always. Got questions for me again? You can always give me a call, 360-733-1200. And don't forget our show tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. As always, we thank you for being with us. Have a great week. Enjoy the nice weather. And take care out there.
Voiced on the show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision.